As more COVID-19 vaccines become available and the rate of vaccinations increase, so too are some of the rumors and concerns about some possible side effects or impacts on us. This is Lisa Berry, and we're hearing more each day about people being vaccinated in our community at Michigan Medicine, the Ann Arbor VA Hospital, and the Washtenaw County Health Department also shared that they are receiving doses. So it is happening in our community, and perhaps you yourself have some questions and concerns. So joining us now on 89.1 WEMU to address some of those concerns is Dr. Jonathan Golub, a physician scientist in the Michigan Medicine Division of Infectious Diseases, involved in the university's response to the pandemic from a research perspective. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I never want to insult the doctors and the scientists with the rumors that I'm hearing, but I feel like we need to have this conversation so it can better inform people. Let's start with the one I'm hearing the most, that the vaccine will make you sterile or infertile. Have you heard that rumor?
I've heard it by way of the University of Facebook, and I'm glad we'll have a chance to talk about this rumor.
Okay. Is it true or untrue?
It's not true in the sense that there's no evidence at all that the vaccines cause any issues with fertility. One of the things that I'm excited about that is going to be happening, hopefully very soon, is that there are even going to be trials of people who are pregnant, who are expecting to see how the vaccine does in those people. The original trials, the trials that are the basis for these emergency use authorizations, excluded people who were pregnant or expecting to get pregnant in the immediate future after they started in the trial. And so we really don't have any evidence of harm. One of the most important things that has come out of these original trials, each of which has tens of thousands of volunteers in them, is that there's really no safety concerns. Nobody has really gotten any serious side effects from these vaccines. And so then we do need to go and look and see what happens in people who are pregnant. But based on both that and the fact that other vaccines are very, very well tolerated in pregnancy, I'm not really concerned about any issues with fertility, particularly long-term fertility with these vaccines. The other thing that really is coming to my mind is on the other side, there is quite starting to be some evidence that COVID-19, the actual infection, is not a great thing to have while pregnant or expecting. Hmm. It's another thing where we're still learning a lot about it. The data is evolving. And in fact, there's a controversy because it has been noted at some hospitals, particularly specific hospitals in the UK, that people who have COVID-19 are more likely to have a stillbirth. Hmm. There's an argument about whether it's the virus itself, the infection itself that causes stillbirths, or just overwhelmed medical systems not able to provide as good care, and that is leading to it. It just emphasizes to me that we have evidence that vaccines are very, very safe in healthy adults, and we're starting to have evidence that the infection itself is not safe, both for adults and potentially particularly for people who are pregnant. So for all these reasons, that evidence of risk from the actual infection, the fact that we know these vaccines protect people very well against getting COVID-19 and that they've been extremely safe in healthy adults, I think the balance at this point is that I have been recommending to my family and friends who are pregnant or expecting to accept the vaccine as soon as they can receive it.
I think some of the concerns is on people who not necessarily are pregnant now, but their future fertility.
There's no evidence in the trials about this, nor is there really a way I think people would expect how that would happen. One of the things we've learned about the actual infection of COVID-19 is in that some people, it can cause problems with blood clotting, cause a disorder of the blood clotting systems that's reminiscent of the one that is seen in lupus. And so I bring this up because lupus, particularly this problem with blood clotting that can happen with lupus, the one that COVID-19 can cause, that can cause issues with fertility. And so again, with the vaccines, which I think now have a really nicely established safety track record, and these concerns about actual COVID-19, I think the balance is in favor of the vaccine being a good choice if you're a healthy adult. And you're concerned about preserving your fertility for the future.
So you're a medical professional in the research world. So I'm asking the non-medical professional unresearched questions just so we can bring some clarity and truth to this. And I think a lot of people on my side think that a vaccine takes decades to produce, and this one was produced so fast. So how could it possibly be effective?
It's a really great question. It's a moment of great pride. It really, to have a vaccine come together this quickly took two major things that are really new and different in science, and things that I think are really speak well to the best of what we can do. One was that there was just an unprecedented wave of sharing of information about this virus as early as possible by scientists worldwide, in a way that kind of sidestepped some of the ways that information sharing is slowed down. There were some downsides with it, but just having so much information about the virus and what are the parts of the virus, how is it constructed, how does it get into human cells, that sort of process takes years, and that happened within weeks after the virus started, the pandemic began to be appreciated. So that key step really made this possible. The two vaccines now, one has gone through emergency use authorization, the other had a very favorable meeting at the FDA this week, are a new kind of vaccine, these messenger RNA vaccines. One of the advantages of the messenger RNA vaccine is that it can be built and designed very, very quickly, whereas older styles of vaccines just take longer to make. And then the most important factor, and the one that I really want to emphasize, is so many people volunteered so quickly to participate in these trials. Tens of thousands of Americans volunteered for each of these trials and did so at a time when we really were still learning about if the vaccines would be effective or safe. Did so as volunteers and made it possible for us to do these trials so quickly with so many people being willing to volunteer to participate. And so those three things together, I think, really made it possible to get a vaccine so quickly compared to older styles of vaccine. But the fact that this has been so quick, one of the opening questions is just how long, and are we going to need to be boosted? And that's why these trials are going to keep going with the same volunteers for years, to keep an eye and keep a very, very close look on how the vaccines do over time.
As a medical researcher, how big was the pool of the people that were used in the testing of the COVID-19 vaccine versus any other kind of medical tests that go on a drug or a vaccine?
These are some of the largest trials done. Each one of these trials has usually in the right around 50,000 participants worldwide, each one. Whereas other sort of COVID therapy trial or other therapy trials, it's more often in the hundreds of people. And one of the reasons why these vaccine trials are so large is the primary goal is to look for negative effects, side effects, consequences, and try to catch them as early as possible. The other is that the way the trials work is people either get a vaccine or get a blank, a placebo, and then they get followed to see, do they get sick? Do they actually get COVID-19? And even with a lot of COVID-19 in our communities, it takes a lot of people to quickly see a difference in those numbers.
Why do you think people were so eager to participate in the trial?
I think all trials for medicines or treatments in the United States go through phases. And so the early phases, it's a small number of people, and the goal is not to look for efficacy, but safety. But even then, these early trials looked extremely promising. So I think we got an inkling early on that the vaccines would be very effective. And I think that made people a little bit more willing to participate. I think, though, in a bigger picture, I think most regular people, the big motivation was that they wanted to help. Everyone, I think, wants to do things to protect one another. And I think this is a way that people felt like they could contribute.
And you put it, Dr. Golub, the way I like to hear my medical professionals and doctors put it. Like, what would you tell your family when it comes to something like that? So can we end with that? You feel 100% sure or 90% sure, I don't even know if you want to quantify it. You feel very confident that this vaccine is effective with very few, if not any, side effects. It's okay to do or to take?
Yeah, I feel personally extremely confident in both the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. It's not to say you won't have any side effects. In fact, I think it's very likely, and I would expect most people when they get the shot to have a sore arm, maybe a day or two where they feel a little fatigued or a little feverish, and then that will go away. And that would be my expectation, but serious side effects? I think that's extraordinarily unlikely. And I think the upside is really, really, really impressive here. These aren't just good vaccines. These are exemplary vaccines. So compared to, say, a flu shot, which is a good vaccine, but doesn't really provide 100% or even 90% protection, these vaccines are really impressive. And personally, I am just so anxious to get my own. I'm waiting to make sure the most vulnerable people get it first. But as soon as it would be offered to me, I would accept it. And that's the advice I've given to my family, including my parents, my partner, and my close friends.
Dr. Jonathan Golub, a University of Michigan scientist and researcher, thanks for talking to us on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you so much for having me.